now, time to get into the Bible. So I'm going to be in Judges chapter number 19. Now, does anybody know what Judges chapter 19 is? Yeah, Graham and Mom can't answer this. Or Joel, because I was over at their house while I was doing this. Does anybody know what Judges 19 is? It's a very weird chapter in the Bible. Anybody? Rolo? Anybody? First one to say it.
A Levite
fetching
home his wife lodges in Gibeah.
Ready? Yes! It's been a while since we got the candy out. But yes, this is a very weird chapter. Okay. Yeah, don't ruin it. Oh, Todd. You're ruining my whole message. But no, I was thinking about what I should preach on. I was going to teach on something, and I was like, I'm not a very good teacher. Okay, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not very good at teaching. So I was like, I'll just preach on something that I read in my Bible. And this is what I read in my Bible, and this really stuck out to me because it's kind of different. You don't really hear this in the Bible very often. But we'll start reading verse number 1, chapter 19. It says, "And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel." That's an important part that I want to preach on tonight. Remember that, when there was no king in Israel, "that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. And his concubine played the whore against him, and went away from him unto her father's house, to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. And her husband arose, and went after her, to speak friendly unto her, and to bring her again, having his servant with him, and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house, and when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him." Now I want to skip down. I'm just going to summarize what happens. So he goes to the father's house, and he talks to him, and he's about to leave, and then the father-in-law is like, "Wait, I think you should stay another day." So he's like, "Okay, I'll stay another day." He's getting ready to leave the next morning. He's like, "Wait, I think you should stay another day." So that happens, I think, 3 times he stays at the house, at his father, his father-in-law's house. So I want to skip down to verse number 20. Yes, skip down to verse number 20. It says, bless you. "And the old man said, peace be with thee." Oh, and they went to a city. I need to mention this part. He went to a city, and an old man saw them in the street, okay? "And the old man said, peace be with thee. However, let all thy wants lie upon me. Only lodge not in the streets. So he brought him into his house, and gave provender unto the asses, and they washed their feet, and did eat and drink. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain men of Belial," did I say that right? Yes, I said it wrong about 100 times. "Of Belial, beset the house round about, and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the men that came unto thine house, that we may know him. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them, and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house. Do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man, do not so a vile thing." I think that's the weirdest verse in the Bible. Anyways, "but the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them. And they knew her, and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day, and fell down at the door of the man's house, where her lord was, till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning, and opened the doors of the house, and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he sent her up, and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man arose up, and gat him unto his place. And when he was come unto his house, he took a knife, and laid hold on his concubine, and divided her together with the bones into 12 pieces, and sent her into all the coasts of Israel. And it was so, that all that had saw it said, there was no such deed done nor seen from this day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds. That's a pretty, I didn't read the whole chapter, but that's a pretty weird chapter, isn't it? I mean, I read that, actually I was in my car reading or listening to it, and he just kept going. I was like, I remember this chapter, but I don't remember the whole context of it. I knew a lady got divided into 12 pieces, and I remember the whole story, but I was like, man, after reading the whole chapter, I'm like, this is one crazy story. And I was like, what's the application? Like, what's the application for this chapter here? So I was like, that's very interesting, so I'm going to try to do my best. But the first thing I want to notice is that the first verse says, when there was no king in Israel. Okay, now Judges 21, the very last verse, Judges 21, 25 says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Okay, so the story shows what I just read. I was looking up, and it's called it the tragedy of the concubine. So that's what I'm calling this, the tragedy of the concubine. So I wanted to kind of show what, oh, I can't walk away. I wanted to show what happens whenever we do things that are right in our own eyes. Okay? I want to see what each person did, and I want to see if it was right or not. So I want to focus on the concubine first. Okay, we see in verse number 2 that she left her husband. Okay, we also see that she played the part of the whore against him. Okay, so she left the authority of her husband and went to her father. Okay, maybe that was right in her own eyes. Is that right? No. Is it ever right to leave your spouse? No, the Bible does not want you to leave your spouse under any circumstances. Okay, but she did. And then, the Bible never documents her having a change of heart or repenting of her sins. Now, maybe I'm reading into this, but the Bible never says that she apologizes. The Bible never says that she repents, because maybe she thought she wasn't wrong. Okay, maybe in her eyes, she was like, I have a reason. Maybe he said something mean to her, or maybe something happened. Okay, she's like, I have a reason for leaving, and I have a reason for being with another man. Yep, that's probably right. Probably forgot something, her birthday, something. And she's like, I'm leaving. But she thought she was justified in her actions. She thought that because her husband was with her again, that she would be safe from the consequences of her sin. Okay, now, but the Bible says in Numbers 32:23, But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out. Now, that's a big verse for everybody, isn't it? The Bible says that your sin is fun for what? A season, right? Your sin is fun for a season. And it says, be sure your sins will find you out. Now, I just wanted to point out that in verse number 28 of the same chapter, let me read that again. And he said unto her, up, and let us be going, but none answered. Then the man took her up, and the man arose and got unto his place. So the same reason, or the same sin that she felt she could not live without, is eventually what took her life. Now I know this is kind of a graphic picture here, but she left her husband and went and was a whore unto him. But you know what killed her? The thing that she loved so much. And whenever I heard that, I was just like, man, isn't that true? We want something so bad, we want sin so bad, but what we don't realize is that sin can kill us. Okay, that sin can absolutely ruin our life. So I just was like, is my sin really worth that? You know, is my sin really worth me dying? Sin always has a price. And this is what I thought this was very good, and you've heard me say it before, everybody says this. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. She went to her father's house, she wasn't supposed to go there. Keep you longer than you want to stay. She never repented, and cost you more than what you want to pay. She died. She lost her life for that sin. Okay? Sin always has a price. So now, I want to focus on the sons of Belial. Okay, the sons of Belial, which Belial is who? Belial is the devil, right? Belial is the devil, another name for the devil. So in verse number 22, and as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial. Okay? So even though these men were part of the tribe of Israel, okay, and what tribe were they from?
Benjamin.
This is all your fault. Okay? Now, they were part of God's chosen people. They were caught up in abominations against God. Now, God said some pretty strong things about sodomy, doesn't he? Okay, he destroyed a whole city because of it. City of what, Benjamin? Sodom. Yeah. Very good. You're paying attention. He destroyed a whole city just for this one sin. I feel like there's something else I want to say. And verse number 25. But the men would not hearken to him. So the men took his concubine and brought her forth unto them. And they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day begun to spring, they let her go. So these are Benjamites, okay? They first come knock on the door wanting the man. But obviously, they don't get him and they get the woman instead. Okay? Now then, they proceed to do things to her that, again, the Bible teaches some pretty strong things about. And again, just remember, these are God's chosen people doing these sins. Okay, these aren't just random people. These are God's people. Okay, and again, they did not show repentance for their actions. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that they repented for their sins. Actually, I'm going to point out something to you later. But these were the men that did the sin. Then, thirdly, I want to point out the husband and the host, okay? The host offered up his daughter in verse 24. Now, maybe in his mind, he thought this was better. Now, back, I don't want to say in Bible times, but over in the Midwest, Middle East, my goodness, Midwest, Middle East, just, thank you. Over in the Middle East, they have some pretty strong customs. Okay, so whenever somebody comes to your house, you're supposed to protect them and you're supposed to guard them with your life. And I know it had to be going through his head. I think the Bible even says that. But could you imagine offering up your daughter? First off, offering up the concubine of another man. Then you're like, but wait, here's my daughter, a maiden. Just take her instead. You know, I can't even imagine that. I don't know what this guy was thinking, what was going through his head. Okay, then the man let them take his concubine rather than sacrificing himself. So you see that they were thinking this was right. They were like, well, it's better them than me, right? Okay? This is right in my eyes, so it has to be right. Now, there's nobody in charge, so I'm the master. So I just think both of these guys are just the craziest guys in the Bible. Because instead of standing up to these men of Belial, they instead just give in and give them the concubine. And that just blew me away. Neither man had the guts to face the men themselves. Rather than sacrificing their own women, rather, they sacrificed their own women to be abused by these wicked men. Whenever we get away from God, everybody else just kind of goes away. And who do we focus on? We just focus about ourselves, don't we? Nobody else really matters. We just focus on the one who matters. And that is us. Okay? I don't know what that guy was thinking, but he wasn't thinking about his concubine. He was just thinking about himself. But, okay. Then, fourthly, I want to talk about the tribe of Benjamin. Go over to chapter number 20. Chapter 20, verses 12. Okay? Let me read this real quick. It says, Then the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? Now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. So the tribe of Benjamin knew what was going on. Okay, they heard it, okay, obviously, because he chopped her up into 12 pieces and sent them abroad. So they knew what was going on. And then when confronted about it, they said, no. If I heard something like that was happening, I think I would want to take care of it, don't you think? But again, they were doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. Not in the eyes of God, they were doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. So they didn't give up the men. And then in the next verse, it says, But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. So they wouldn't just like leave it at that. They wouldn't be like, no, we're just not giving you the men. Go away. They're like, okay, we'll go to war. This is the weirdest thing for me. I just can't believe they went to war over this. They'd rather face death than to humble themselves and repent. You know, it's just crazy what happens whenever we get away from God. All of our common sense just goes out the window. These Benjamites, the leaders of the Benjamites, okay, they weren't thinking that, man, we're going to risk so many lives. You know, the Bible says that 25,000 Benjamites were destroyed from this. One decision, bless you, one decision changed the whole tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin was almost completely destroyed just from this one story. And all this because there was no king in Israel. And they did what they thought was right in their own eyes. These people had no authority and nobody to tell them no. Isn't that crazy? I was talking to Joel and I think Graham about how kids just crave authority in their life. How they just want somebody to tell them no. Whenever they don't have that authority, they just do whatever they want. And it kind of wrecks the child. And you can see that in this story. That how everybody just did what they wanted. And it almost seemed like there were no consequences. Okay. In chapter 20, verse 27. Let me read that real quick. 20, verse 27. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. For the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. Now, this is the only verse in Judges that even mentions the Ark of the Covenant. I did not know that. And I was looking up other verses for the Ark of the Covenant, and there is none in Judges. So, I could be reading into this. I don't know. But this tells me that they didn't see God very often. This tells me that they didn't really care about what God thought. And when God is not your authority, and you aren't consulting Him for your decisions, then you can be capable of some pretty bad things, can't you? You can make a lot of bad decisions for your life. I know that I've made some bad decisions in my life. I know that everybody's made bad decisions in their life. It's just a part of what we do. We make bad decisions. Because God was not in charge, civil war broke out. And the tribe of Benjamin was almost completely destroyed. And I often think of the children of Israel a lot, actually, in the Old Testament. You think, they strayed so far from God so many times, over and over and over again, and then they come back, okay? Something bad happens, they stray from God, okay, they come back, something bad happens. It goes over and over again. They worship another god, you know, and you're like, you guys literally saw God part the Red Sea, okay? You watched Him do that. You watched the plagues of Israel, or the plagues of Egypt. You're like, how can you, like, not just trust in Him? And I got thinking that. I was like, how? I was starting to, like, not get after Him, obviously, but I was like, how could they do this? And I was thinking, wow, wait a second. I have the Bible, and this has everything in it that God wants me to have, and yet I still do the same thing the Israelites are doing. And I felt really bad. I was just like, maybe I shouldn't open my mouth, you know, before I think. And that just made me think. And I also think of Moses. Moses made one bad decision. Well, not he made many bad decisions. But he, what did he do? He hit the rock. He smote the rock instead of speaking to it. Okay, and that one decision, just because he was upset, just because he was angry, okay, what was he not allowed to do? He wasn't allowed to see the promised land, which was a big deal for him. That was a big deal for Moses. And I just got thinking, I was like, man, no wonder people's lives are in ruin in our world. Now, no wonder people are just crazy nowadays because they don't have anybody in charge. You know, nobody's in charge anymore. And you can do whatever you want to. You know, you can go marry another man if you want. You know, now this sin that's in the Bible that God destroyed cities for are now just legalized. You can go do that whenever you want. It's all right. Okay, you can kill babies. You can do anything. There's no right or wrong. It's just whatever you think is right. It's whatever you want to do, whatever you feel like. If I feel like a girl tomorrow, I could be a girl if I wanted to. And you wouldn't be able to say anything about it. And that just blows my mind. People are craving authority, they just don't know how to get it. They don't know where to get it from. And if they only got it from the Bible, if they got it from God's Word, then I think our whole society would just work better. But God said that this would happen. God said that people would turn from God. That's just a sign of the time, but it just blows my mind that people know that there is a God, and yet we still don't follow Him. And we still turn our back towards Him, and we still run from Him. And what blows my mind even more than that is that He still takes us back. You know, I could do the same sin over and over and over again. I think that's called a presumptuous sin, where you know what you're doing. You know that you're sinning. And yet, the next day, if I repent of my sin, He will still take me back. He will still forgive me. And that blows my mind. And a lot of people take that for granted. You know, a lot of people play that like, oh, I can do whatever I want because I'm still going to heaven. And I don't know how you can think that, because I would be afraid that I would wear on God's patience. You know, I'm so thankful that we have a patient God. We have a merciful God. Because I couldn't imagine if he gave us what we deserved. You know, if He gave us what we deserved, we wouldn't be alive right now. That's for sure. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have my wife. God just loves us uncontrollably. And why He does, I have no clue, because we don't give Him a whole lot in return. You know, we love people, but sometimes we expect things, don't we? Whenever you love somebody, you're like, maybe I can get something out of them, if it's not the right kind of love. I do that with a lot of people. All you mechanics here. But God loves us with no... He kind of knows. He knows the future, obviously. So He loves us even though He knows we're going to spit in His face. And that just amazes me. But all right, well, that's all I have for you tonight. I got that from my Bible reading, and I thought that was very interesting, and I hope that it helps you. I hope that you will realize that there is right and wrong, and that God is in control.